Our small New England town is 10 miles from downtown Boston, Massachusetts, 5 miles from Harvard Square, and 100 miles from the nearest flock of sheep. The homes sit on 1/8-acre lots of perfect green lawns and tidy flower beds. The town's canine control laws are strict and enforced. Every dog must wear a leash, all dog droppings must be picked up and disposed of properly, dogs are not allowed on town fields, and no dog is allowed to bark for more than 10 minutes. If the town had its way, dogs might be banned altogether. Certainly anything larger and more active than a pug or a dachshund. It's a wonderful town, however, in which to raise children. Good schools, a nearby library, safe streets, and a public pool. Our three sons, Max, 15, Wiley, 11, and Nathaniel, 5 years old, hop on their bikes to ride to the pizza place and the candy store, and can always find enough friends for a baseball game. In 1992, when my older boys were still quite little, the clamoring for a dog began. My mother, savvy grandmother, an animal behaviorist that she is, said, "You don't need to take care of one more living thing. You need something that will help you take care of them. Get a border collie." A border collie? Here? In Tidylawn, USA? A border collie? Those frighteningly brilliant creatures that drive themselves and everyone around them mad, if not provided with the mental and physical challenge of sheep herding or mountain rescue on a daily basis? "Surely, Mother, you can't be serious." "Oh, yes," she said. "A collie would be perfect. In fact, I just met a lovely dog in Michigan. Let's see if we can get a puppy from her breeder." Esme, a 10-week-old white collie puppy, was soon put on a plane to Boston. 10 years later, she's nanny, pal, bed warmer, kitchen floor and baby face cleaner, ace football goalie and baseball outfielder. In short, the world's best family dog. Ez employs herself by gently nudging the neighborhood toddlers off the street and onto the sidewalk, visiting and snacking with lonely elders, letting the grown-ups know if the 10-year-olds are doing something risky, and generally being a contributing member of the community. Ez doesn't need a flock of sheep. She's got a flock of humans to watch over, and she takes her work seriously. Sometimes she wears a leash, and sometimes not. The animal control officer tends to turn a blind eye to Ez, perhaps because he's an ex-army sergeant and appreciates that I've clicker-trained her to salute him. While healthy at 10, Ez is slowing down. The ripe old age of 15 or 16 suddenly seems right around the corner. It's become a burning question. How could we ever manage without Esme? Could any border collie adapt to the suburban life of a busy family so happily? Or is our Ezzy unique? Or is the real question whether suburban family life can be adapted to the needs of a collie? After all, shouldn't life be stimulating and purposeful for every dog, whether on an eighth of an acre or on 100 acres? On a trip to the Cotswolds one spring, I posed these questions to Kay Lawrence. Her wicked response was to introduce me to the Janabicab collies, including Quiz and her 2-week-old pups. 13 weeks later, young Janabicab Quickstep, also known as Phoebe, arrived in Boston, accompanied by Kay herself. And so our experiment in collie raising in an American suburb began. Practical preparation. Phoebe joined our family long before she arrived. Kay sent pictures of her as she grew, and each adorable image went up on the refrigerator. She worked her way into my three sons' affections. I prepared them by talking about what life with a puppy would be like, knowing that unchecked imaginations could be in for a surprising reality. By the day Phoebe arrived, the boys knew puppies are babies. They need to be loved. There's a lot they don't understand, and they need to be treated gently. Puppies need toys. On a trip to the local pet shop, the boys chose a range of things that rattle and squeak. I selected a few additional Kongs and other chewable items. I also pulled a box of the boys' own well-gnawed baby toys out of storage. Unwanted behaviors are not funny. Everyone in the family would be responsible for teaching the puppy what is okay and what is not okay. What is cute in a 15-week-old pup would not be as sweet in a 1-year-old dog. Laughing and dancing around in response to ankle biting only means more ankle biting. Walking away and ending the game means less. Puppies do not learn by punishment. Punishment has never been a discipline tool in our household, so this rule was obvious to our boys. The neighborhood children, however, required some education. Yes, I know your dog was taught not to jump by kneeing him in the chest, but we will not teach our puppy that way, and neither will you. Only Mom uses the clicker. The boys, of course, found the clicker an irresistible toy. Without a firm rule, Phoebe would have had to endure an endless cacophony of meaningless click, 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 clicks in her ear. More preparation for Phoebe's arrival, however, took place in my mind than in conversations with my sons. Families so often run into problems when they bring home a puppy because it never occurs to the adults that real commitment, just short of opening a college savings account, to this new family member is required. I prepared for Phoebe's arrival in much the same way I have for any of our babies. I recognized that both my mind and my heart would be busy caring for this new collie child, and that consequently, I would get less done in every other area of my life. I prepared myself to bond, and that would make all the difference.